table of my vintage travel trailer. That's Trailer Talk, Monday night at 7:30 on Radio Catskill.
Hello, I'm Michelle Martin. How's the newspaper where you live? Thin? Getting thinner? Publishing a few days a week, if at all? You're not alone. Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat.
It will sell off more of its daily newspapers.
The largest news organization is shrinking.
It's laid off nearly a quarter of its newsroom.
And that makes it harder to keep up with our elected officials and what they're doing. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part by keeping NPR and the station strong with a donation today. And we thank you.
Your gift keeps local news, culture, and NPR funded and freely available to the entire community. Give what you can to keep it going. It's so important right now. Donate at wjffradio.org.
It's wjffradio.org. We'll be looking for your support there. I'll say it a little bit slower so you don't miss it. wjffradio.org. I'm Jason Dole. I'm here live in our studios in Liberty, New York, and about to give you the local news. And pausing now before I do to remind you how important it is that we hear from you. And how important it is that we meet our goal during this summer fund drive. We are 7% of the way there, thanks to the many generous folks who are donating all through the holiday weekend, which is a great thing to have seen. And the folks that we've heard from today, thanks again to everybody we just heard from during the news. But if we didn't hear from you, there's still time to hear from you, but better to do it sooner than later, because there's so much uncertainty right now. The more certainty we can have, the better. And the more people that support us, and the sooner that our listeners step up to support us, the sooner you decide to go from being one of the listeners who listen, which we need so many of, and we thank you so much for listening. But you make the decision to go from being one of those listeners to listen to being one of those listeners who listen and support the station, who make sure that it's here for everyone in the community, regardless of their ability to give. Do what you can at wjffradio.org. It's wjffradio.org. And yeah, we're getting ready for the local edition. And as you heard, like Michelle Martin there saying, as a number of the folks from NPR, those voices, you know, they're emphasizing not just the good work that they do at NPR, but the indispensable work that we do here at the ground level at local radio stations like this around the country. If Radio Catskill wasn't here in this area, you know, what would be here? There's lots of great local news outlets. And your support for the station doesn't just support us and let us bring you the information that we're able to get with our ever-expanding news team. And we thank you so much for the generous support that enabled us to be able to say that right now in the year 2025, that we have such a big news team working for two daily news talk programs that we have here at Radio Catskill. But you also support all of those other media outlets that we partner with. Every week I talk to Philip Pantuso, Times Union, Hudson Valley. We talk to New York Focus, Spotlight PA, and all of our fellow compatriot New York Public Radio stations in the New York Public News Network. Your support helps support them too. Our ability to get their reporting out to you supports them. When you support us and let us do that, you're supporting our news partners as well, and you're supporting the overall health of the local news ecology here in our listening area. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do as individuals with our relatively small individual donations that we give. This is a fabulous opportunity to be able to do that. Because we look around, you could see the crumbling of news infrastructure, of the access to information. We can, not coincidentally, in my opinion, see, you know, the crumbling of some of the institutions that keep our republic free, of some of the institutions of democracy itself. And where we feel so helpless, we look around and say, well, what can I do about it? This is something you can do. And it's not hyperbole to say that your donation to this radio station goes a very long way. You're supporting the work that we do here. You're supporting your friends and neighbors here in our listening area and people that you don't even know here in our listening area. You're also supporting our news partners across our local area, across the region. You're supporting the great reporters that do work for NPR, as well as American Public Media, Pacifica Radio, all of the great distributors that we get information from. Your support to us supports the work that they do around the area, around the state, around the country, around the world. We're all in it together. We're just asking you to stand up and be counted too. As we get into the local edition now, remember, we're waiting to hear from you. So stay with us. Local editions coming right up. You have plenty of time to go to WJFFradio.org. It's WJFFradio.org and make your donation there. Local editions coming right up.
You don't have to give $1 billion because every dollar counts when you donate to this station. Please make your gift today. Thanks.
Make your donation now at WJFFradio.org.
From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. We are live, and I thank you so much for being here with me. Hope you made it through your holiday weekend okay. Hope you had a safe and fun Independence Day weekend. Well, coming up tonight on the local edition, now that President Trump's big, beautiful bill is the law of the land, we will continue to explore how the domestic agenda that it lays out may exacerbate the already serious issue of food insecurity in our region. Kimberly Izar talks with folks from A Single Bite and Real Food Logistics coming up in a few minutes. Plus, did you hear my interview with Camille O'Brien last week? It wasn't about local politics. It wasn't about Sullivan County Drug Task Force. No, it was about the fact that she was going to be competing Friday in the world-famous hot dog eating contest at Nathan's in Coney Island. Not only was Camille there, but one of Radio Catskill's news team members was there as well. Annie Bennett talks to Camille O'Brien on the scene to bring you that report from New York City. But first, before we get started, we're going to start with some news from New York State. And again, just reminding you that this news comes to us because of the work that our news partners do in the New York Public News Network. We span the entire state, and we're only able to do it thanks to the donations of listeners like you who go to WJFFradio.org to donate. And the news that we have today coming to you out of Albany, where an immigrant from El Salvador is now in jail after pleading guilty to threatening the top federal prosecutor in Albany with a knife. As WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind reports, the incident unfolded while the prosecutor was seeking a permanent appointment.
U.S. Attorney John Sarcone says he's still shaken up by his June 17th encounter with Saul Morales Garcia. It was late at night near an Albany hotel. Morales Garcia started shouting in a foreign language and pulled a knife, seemingly at random.
It's emotionally distressing, distressing to me, distressing to my children, distressing to my wife and family.
Police initially charged Morales Garcia with attempted murder. Sarcone went on Fox News a few days later and said he was attacked. But video footage of the incident shows Morales Garcia never came within 10 feet of Sarcone. Albany County Prosecutor Joseph Meany explained the charges were downgraded.
We've spoken with the complaining witness and reviewed the video referenced by defense counsel, and it's our position that based upon the results of that investigation, that the facts and circumstance warrant proceeding as a misdemeanor.
Morales Garcia pleaded guilty to a lower charge of menacing. He faces deportation after a 90-day jail sentence. The defendant's lawyer, Vincenzo Sofia, said it was a fair outcome.
From day one, it was pretty clear that the charges against Mr. Morales Garcia were blown out of proportion.
The case is unfolding as Sarcone seeks permanent appointment to his job before his term expires next week. He is able to serve on an interim basis for 120 days, but then requires approval from the federal judges in the 32-county Northern District. Sarcone hasn't previously been a prosecutor, but worked with President Trump's 2016 campaign and practiced law in Westchester County. He says a meeting with the judges went well.
I fully expect to get a vote of confidence from them.
Representatives of the judges didn't comment. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Thank you, Jimmy, for that report. Well, about 1 in 5 children in Sullivan County live below the poverty line and do not get enough food to eat, to grow, and thrive, according to A Single Bite. This is a nonprofit here in Sullivan County, preparing and delivering more than 900 nutritious meals per week to local families in need. But food access across New York State could be in even greater dire need, because last week President Trump signed into law his Big Beautiful Bill, which includes significant changes to safety net programs like SNAP and Medicaid, and could reduce nutrition funding by more than $180 billion. Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar spoke with A Single Bite's executive director, Audrey Garrow, and Real Food Logistics manager, Jennifer Bieto, about how these federal changes would impact residents locally. And we should note that Radio Catskill spoke with A Single Bite before the mega bill even became law.
Why don't we start with hearing just more work that you do? Tell me more about A Single Bite and why it's so important in a county like Sullivan County.
Even though we're only 6 years old, having been in this community, really originating with the idea that we could provide nutrition education to young people, helping them to make good choices when they can, but also to think about the difference between real food, processed food, and where their food comes from. During COVID, we, as many other people do, saw food insecurity for the first time, maybe vividly, unfortunately, in Sullivan County. Once you see something like that, especially hungry kids, it's very difficult to unsee it. So we started feeding families with children, and we continue to be a reliable source of food for almost 150 families. As you said, 900 individual servings of healthy food, scratch-made dinners being delivered by volunteers every week to every corner of this county. And we're really proud and grateful for the community support that has enabled us to do that.
Yeah, Jennifer, I'd love to hear more about how you work with local farmers.
We are blessed to have some amazing farmers in this area that are very willing to send over their excess goods to us, specifically after the Calicoon Farmers Market, just to name a few: Heller's, Will-O-Wisp, Lucky Dog. You know, on Monday morning, it's sort of like an angel showed up, and we're able to take what has been gleaned from that market and immediately turn it into as a part of the meal that's going to go out that week. So, you know, it's what's in season. So right now, you know, we have been sending fresh lettuce, you know, fresh salads made from, you know, various greens coming in from market, radishes, turnips, a real showcase of what, you know, people are eating in season right now. We are able to get that translated into these pans that are being delivered to families' homes, which is really, you know, beautiful, beautiful to see.
Right now in the region, we're seeing a housing crisis. We're seeing an affordability crisis. Tell me more about what you're hearing from the communities you serve about why right now is especially a challenging time to put food on the table.
I think just the lack of security in general that's in the air. People feel unsure, unsettled, and it's very difficult to think about going to the grocery store, to the gas station, paying utility bills, paying rent, buying clothes for your kids, all the things that a family has to think about when you're not sure that your public benefit is going to come, what that amount is going to be, that in the months to come, things like that might change. I think it's very difficult for people to prioritize maybe a more nutritious selection mm-hmm. when they can make a choice. The possibility that SNAP benefits, that WIC benefits, that any benefits might be cut. As a not-for-profit that relies primarily on private funding, very little public funding, we know that the private sector cannot fill the gap what public funding provides for families. What we're trying to do is to stay within our mission, which is to feed and educate local families, especially their children. But to be able to do that with respect, understanding that people, some of our families are in temporary housing, no fault of their own. Other families experience some kind of job change, illness. The factors that lead people to be food insecure are definitely attributable to poverty. And there's generational poverty in this community that is going to be very hard to kind of combat in the short term. And there are a lot of people that are really focused on as you say, the housing issue and education in this community too. And so we just really feel like if children are going to school and they're not worried about dinner when they get home, and that parents can go to work and not worry necessarily about the grocery bill, you know, and making sure that there's something on the table, that we're doing our part.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the federal shifts that we're seeing at a national level, and then also how that impacts us locally. A number of things. Earlier this year, the USDA cut a $1 billion program that allows schools and food banks to buy food directly from local farmers. We've also heard from several farmers in the region about how the USDA funding cuts have impacted them. They were supposed to get grants that were already approved for distribution, and then it still hasn't come. And then on top of that, another big federal proposal that is on people's radars is President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, and includes an estimated $230 billion in SNAP cuts over 10 years that would pass a significant amount of those costs onto states. As we're talking about federal cuts, what does that mean for the work that you do?
I think for the work of A Single Bite, and the reason we were founded, was to help improve the health of this county. And everything you just listed will ultimately, whether it's long-term, short-term, affect the health of the people who live here. And that in turn affects the resources required, whether it's our hospital, whether it's the health of individuals who are maintaining our roads, whether it's children's ability to go to school, to learn, to grow, to thrive physically and intellectually, emotionally, I should also mention, in order for them to contribute to the future of this community in a productive way, they need to be healthy.
Right.
And it's that old adage, we are what we eat. As a community, we are that as well. So in terms of A Single Bite, in our mission to help to elevate the health of the community, everything that's threatened, that is all that funding that's threatened by these changes that are really about the bottom line and not about the individuals who will be ultimately impacted. It's disturbing for A Single Bite. It, I think, also at the same time motivates us to do the best that we can do with the funding that we have, and also to find those partners in the community, whether it's donors, farmers, volunteers, other organizations that we also look to, so that we're being as efficient as we can, so that we're not duplicating efforts. Sullivan County, I believe, has a history of taking care of itself by necessity, but also I think because it's a community that is built on very resourceful people.
Mm.
It's not an easy place to live, especially through a winter. I think, you know, think about farmers. The growing season is very short. They have to plan really carefully. And I know that Jen's been talking to some farmers about actually planting crops for us. And it's very difficult to do all of that. Those farmers are also, you know, some of them struggling to put food on their own tables, which is ironic. And my prayer is that the human beings in Washington think about the human beings that are at the other end of the decisions that they make.
Yeah, Audrey, you make me think about demographics of the folks who are facing insecurity is really vast. You know, you mentioned how some of the farmers who are growing the food are sometimes the ones who need the food themselves. I'm curious if there's anything else that you want to share about the work that you do, and particularly why it's so important right now and as we think about the future of the region.
Well, you know, I think the farming industry and the schools, I mean, they're both very challenged already. You know, it's
right.
Farming today is, it takes a lot of heart and a lot of work and a lot of support from the community and from agencies that are ultimately, you know, providing resources to make this all happen, to bridge the gap between today's society and something like farming. And the schools, I mean, you know, they've been challenged with feeding children properly for some time now, right?
Yeah.
And without these programs, you know, it's making an already challenged obstacle even harder. So, you know, it does actually fuel us. at a single bite in a big way, because we know more than ever that there's help that is needed. With our farm to school food pilot that we're doing for next year, it's super exciting that we are going, no matter what, we are going to take the funding we have to create scratch-based food, farm-freshly sourced items into prepared food that we're going to provide to the schools. So to us, it's, you know, we feel like our mission's even stronger right now. And, you know, to support the farmers, to support the kids in school and at home, is just top priority. And, you know, to, like I said, to bridge that gap that is just getting wider.
I've been chatting with Audrey Garrow, executive director of A Single Bite, and Jennifer Potato, A Single Bite's real food logistics manager, for the last few minutes. Audrey and Jennifer, thank you so much for chatting today.
Thank you for having us.
Radio Catskills Fund Drive is happening now. Give now at WJFFradio.org, because when you donate, you're not just giving money, you're making an investment. You're powering local news, nurturing young talent, and building the connections that make our communities stronger. And now is a great time to give, because we need you now more than ever. Make your donation today at WJFFradio.org.
That's WJFFradio.org, WJFFradio.org. I'm Jason Dole. This is a local edition, and that's where I am right now. I'm at WJFFradio.org. I clicked on the donation link, Summer Fun Drive, Save Public Radio, Donate Now. I clicked on that red box. It says all that. And I'm looking at some great messages from people who donated earlier today. And we heard from listener Erica, who says, I'm especially happy to support local news reporting. Lack of reliable news content is one of the reasons we're in the pickle that we are in today. Thank you for continuing efforts to provide local, national, and global news. Thank you so much, Erica. Listener Gail said earlier today, always happy to donate to a great station, especially during these troubling times. And Anonymous said earlier today, I've been listening to WJFF for over 20 years. I've always loved it, but what you have done in the last few years is awesome. I can't imagine life in Jeff without the station anymore. Thank you so much, Anonymous. And thank you to everybody kind of underscoring the importance of, the local news, saying, what we've done the last few years, one of the biggest things we've done the last few years is grow our local news reporting. You just heard that great conversation from Kimberly Izar. We're halfway through 2025 now, right? We're on the second half of 2025. 2025 started with no Kimberly Izar working here. She's now part of our Radio Catskill news team, doing phenomenal work. It would not be possible without the support of listeners like you, and it won't be possible to sustain, to maintain, to keep it going, and to keep us growing here in the Catskills without the support of listeners like you. So please, listener, add your support to our tally. And if you feel like it, add your comment to the comment list here when you go to WJFFradio.org. It's WJFFradio.org. Make your donation. Support local news. It's more crucial than ever, and your support is more needed than ever. WJFFradio.org. For our last story tonight, want to get right into this, and I will remind you again, of course, we're back. Hope you're recovering from your 4th of July weekend. Hope you had a safe and lovely 4th of July weekend. One of the residents here in Sullivan County certainly did. Camille O'Brien's a New York native and was one of four newcomers to Nathan's hot dog eating contest this year. She returned to her Brooklyn roots, was there on the 4th of July, and also on the 3rd of July for the weigh-in. Radio Catskill reporter Annie Bennett met up with Camille at that weigh-in before the big showdown. Here's that report.
On July 4th, Coney Island is packed. Yes, the rides and the beach draw people in for the summer holiday, but it's Nathan's annual hot dog eating contest that sets it apart. Around 40,000 people come to watch each year, and contestants fly in from around the world. This year, one of the first-time eaters, or as they're called, athletes, is a Sullivan County local.
Camille O'Brien, I'm here for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Happens every year. I've been watching it since I was a kid, and I can't believe I'm here right now. So I'm actually originally from Brooklyn. I grew up on Coney Island, and some of my earliest memories are watching the Hot Dog Eating Contest. I now live in Jeffersonville, New York.
She's been fasting for days to prepare her body for what's to come.
So right now, I'm in a fast, so lots of water. I might eat a little bit of fruit. Yesterday and the day before, I ate a pound of carrots each day to kind of clear out my system. I only ate one meal early yesterday and then the pound of carrots. I did have a little bit of popcorn, just like create some space, something a little different. But today I'm just going on water, a little bit of fruit, and just getting some rest and getting pumped up.
Camille found out just 2 weeks ago that she qualified.
It was 2 weeks ago in Hershey Park, and I went and I won by half a hot dog. And before the competition, I only had time to practice once, which I did 7.5 in the practice. I did 8.5 at Hershey Park and won by the half a hot dog. And I practiced a few times since. I'm only one of four newcomers this year, three of which are women.
The competition is certainly stiff. The reigning women's champion ate 51 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Somebody was telling me they started capacity training in January, doing hot dog runs twice a week in March. I only started practicing about a month ago, so I'm hoping to do well tomorrow, but this is a start, and I might be back next year, and I'll just keep working on it.
George Shea, who MCs the whole shebang, hosted a weigh-in for the contestants to be announced.
Fierce, angel, elegant, fury, breathtaking queen, Camille O'Brien!
He says it's tough for a newcomer to break in, but what it really comes down to is grit.
You know, the issue is, yes, there's capacity, yes, there's jaw strength, yes, there's hand speed, but what it really comes down to is whether or not they're a goer, a gamer, whether or not they're here to perform on the 4th of July, which is their patriotic duty.
And Camille did just that. She ate 6.5 hot dogs in 10 minutes, a bit below her qualifying numbers, but still an impressive feat. She represented the Catskills well, placing 11th out of 13 female contestants.
I don't know if you can tell, I lost my voice from all the cheering and talking about food. I didn't hit the numbers I wanted to, but actually everybody's numbers were down. But I'm super stoked that I didn't place last and I didn't throw up. And I got a lot of tips from other eaters. Some of them said they're going to practice with me and help me get my numbers up going into next year. So hopefully I'll be in it again next year. And since I signed my Major League Eating contract, I'm actually looking forward to other contests to help build capacity. I'll be applying and hopefully I'll be in the Professional Buffalo Wing Eating Contest. So that's the next thing I'm looking forward to, and we'll see. I might have a career as a professional eater here. You saw it first.
In Liberty, for Radio Catskill, I'm Annie Bennett.
Thank you so much, Annie, for that report. And thank you again and congrats to Camille O'Brien. I didn't get to see the event live on the 4th. I had a very busy 4th, but the next day I was out with friends at a restaurant and they had ESPN on, and then the competition came up and there was Camille. And she said on the interview last week that I didn't think this is the way I was going to wind up on ESPN, but there you go. So if you missed my interview with Camille, if you want to hear more, it's all up at WJFFradio.org, which, oh, hey, by the way, that's where you can go to make your donation during our summer fun drive. You've been listening to the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole, been your host. My fun drive started, well, I've been working on the fun drive all of last week and all through the weekend, but last night was my big night to rest and get ready for tonight. And I was, kind of up in my garden looking at the fireflies, and I had a little Bluetooth speaker with some music on it. I was listening to The Cure, and then the rotate, wound up going to the next song. And I wasn't expecting it, but it was a song that I very much associate with the fun drive these days. And from one of my favorite bands, B-52s. So that's what we're going to go out with tonight. Talk about Legal Tender down in the basement, making some money. As we leave you and remind you, we need your support for this amazing public radio station. Keep public radio in the Catskills. Keep it in Northeast Pennsylvania. Whatever happens in Washington, D.C., your donation to this station is what's going to keep it strong. We don't know what will happen, but whatever happens, we will be here for you as long as you are here for us. Stand with us now and do it by giving whatever you can at WJFFradio.org. That's WJFFradio.org. Do it by sharing that link with the folks that you know. Let them know they should be supporting this radio station too. WJFFradio.org. We got our great Monday night lineup of news talk programs. You got Laura Flanders and Friends and Trailer Talk both coming at you at 7 and 7.30 respectively. Laura and Sabrina will be here live in the studio with us next week. Before any of that happens, up next, it's The Daily here on Radio Catskill.